I had some hooligans come into my house the other night. It was awfully cute. I love Halloween. Did you have anybody have any guests? I had three little girls and one's gathering, and they came to the door, and I opened the door, and they looked at me and stuck their bags out. And I started filling their bags, and I got about halfway through, and I said, "Aren't you supposed to say something?" And in perfect chorus, they said, "Thank you." They had been coached in most of the letter G for that evening. But after that night, after the hooligans, after all of the goblins and ghosts and all that had run amok, All Saints Day. The saints triumphed in light. And this is All Saints. Actually, the 5th would have been our All Saints Sunday. It would have been our gathering to be able to stop and recognize the saints that have gone before us and even the saints in our midst. We gather with them, we think about them, we focus on them, and know the blessing that they have been. My heart breaks for people who have grown up without a saint to mentor them. Think of that a moment. Think of some who are in such destitute states and how we can be Christ's people to those. But those saints who have gone before, think of those who have been saints to you. What made them saints? What did they do to become saints? Nothing. We are saved but by the grace of God. God's grace is an amazing gift to us, and that is the way we get there. We do have things that we should be doing. We do have things that we should be about. What is our job? What is it we should be doing day to day? The title of the sermon is spelled out for us. The 10 Commandments. I knew a fella in a previous church, and for him, the most important thing in faithfulness was coming to church dressed in a shirt, coat, and tie on Sunday. That was the pivotal point. That was the core of what God expected of him and what it was right to do to be faithful. And boy, he did not have any, not forgiveness of all for anyone who didn't make it. And intriguingly, we lived in a farming community. Burns is more of an urban church. You're not aware of that, but in rural communities where agriculture is so important, you work all year long to bring about a crop. You nurture it, you fertilize it, you stir the soil, you care for it, you do everything, and then you pray that when it is ripe, that at the right moment, the weather does not prevent you from being able to harvest it. And if that happens to be on a Sunday, you harvest. It's one of those things that's one of my good friends who was a farmer back there, he says, "I'm sorry I missed you last week, Pastor." He said, "I was praying from my combine." And I said, "I know you were." He knew that he was missing church, but he knew that he had a lot of families to feed. Families feed the world. I need to give them thanks for that. Amen? All right. So is that one of the Ten Commandments, the most important one? Jesus and his disciples got in trouble. They were accused of being improper because they picked grain on the Sabbath. That was deemed work. Harvesting was work. Picking grains was work. And so they were criticized for doing work on the Sabbath. The Ten Commandments, that one commandment, prohibited them. And Jesus helped unpack that and said, the Sabbath is made for us. We are not made for the Sabbath. It is a gift to us to stop, to take a moment, to take some time, to find ourselves, to center ourselves, to stop being awash in the world all around us and all the agendas and all the things we have to do and all the things and the checklists and that we should get done. A time to stop and sit with God. Maybe that happens on the Sabbath. Maybe that's on a Saturday. Maybe that's on a Sunday. For me, this last, since COVID really, has been in Thursdays. How many of you think of a Sabbath on a Thursday? I'm learning to do it better and better. So what though, if that's not the most important of the Ten Commandments, what is the most important one? It's like parenting. I did not get a manual. I'm kind of winging it the best I can, but I didn't get a manual on the feeding, care and feeding of the daughters. We do our best with God's help. Poor Tom, I hadn't gotten to be a liturgist ever before, and I hit him with Joshua 24. That's a long scripture. And in fact, I cut the middle portion out. It was all of the different Amorites and Hittites and all of the other tribes that were here that Renee pointed out, who were residents before the Hebrews arrived. At any rate, you did a great job, Tom. Again, thank you. But that passage ends with Joshua asking the people, which God are you going to serve? Today you need to pick. But he goes on and says, but as for me and mine, we shall serve the Lord. So what's that mean? He says, put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord today. We need to think about that more and more often because we do get caught up serving other gods. Gods of politics, gods of social settings, gods of language and culture, and gods of nationality, and gods of attire. Our teenagers today are pulled and torn by so many different things that seem to be the most important thing. Serving the Lord sits there in the center. So what's our job? True story, I had a roommate years ago, college, and he was a heck of a character. He had done everything there was. He had been a juggler for a while and made his living as a juggler. When I knew him, he was a waiter, which really fit in there. Several years later, I found out that he had joined the fire department, City of Grand Junction. Pretty significant department, pretty good area. And I thought, how in the world did he get a job as a firefighter? But I mean, he was a hard worker, there was no question. But I found out that on one of his first calls, they had a grass fire that was coming down across Orchard Mesa. Boy, they sent out everybody they could get because we saw how a grass fire can invade an urban area. The worst destruction in Colorado history, right here in the Denver metro area. What are they calling it? The Marshall Fire. Thank you. Thank you. Senior moment there. But everybody and his uncle went out, and they got all the trucks they could get out, and they're all out there working, and it was mayhem, and they're working off county roads, and they're rushing about, and this friend of mine, who had just become a fireman, it was all the confusion, he stopped and started directing traffic. There were a lot of cars backed up because of the fire trucks and the hoses and everything, so he decided to direct traffic. They had to take him aside and point out, you're a firefighter. Fires are what you do. What's your job? What is it? What is the job supposed to be? Ours is to serve the Lord. And they asked Jesus, which of those commandments is the most important one? Stephanie, I think you've got a slide there. I put up the Shema. Did I say it right, Renee? Shema, Jewish prayer. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall serve the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, everything, your money, your time, your place, your energy, your very core of being, you shall serve God. That's what he was quoting as the Shema. And he points that out, and he narrows it down, and he focuses us with all your heart. In one of his other quotes in Luke, he says, and you'll know where your heart is by where your treasure is. Think about that a moment. Where you treasure something and where you spend your most energy, time, and money, there is your treasure, your heart. This is not a stewardship sermon. This is a sermon about what is our job? What are we supposed to be about? And as Jesus is trying to explain to us, and he's trying to bring cultures forward and help peoples that have learned certain ways of being in the world, he's helping them reorient. The Jewish laws, the books of the laws, he doesn't negate those. The Ten Commandments, he doesn't discount those. But all of those are secondary to focusing on giving your all to God. Which of these is the most important? I give you a commandment, he said. I give you a commandment now. And this steps forward from all the past covenants that have been made in prior times. I give you a covenant that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, love one another. By this, anyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Of course, somebody asked him, what is it? Who's my neighbor? And he responded with the story of the Good Samaritan. One of the hated Samaritans is the most faithful. And love, that's not like, gosh, I love these new shoes I'm wearing. They're just so comfy. Gosh, I just love that new TV show that just came out. It just tickles the snot out of me. This is the kind of love that you have for your most beloved. I hope all of you have those beloveds in your lives, those ones in which your heart resides. And that's the kind of love that we are to have for each other. So he's spelling it out for us. It's straightforward. There is no question. This is what we are to do from the core of our being, is to care for all others. And I think if you think about that, if we are able to do that, all of the rest of the commandments, everything else just falls into place, because you will do the right thing with your beloveds. Just as I have loved you, he says. And now we turn to communion, where he shows us, by gathering at the table, invites us to be a part of his family and feeds and nurtures us, his love for us. I invite Pastor Tolotau to join me as we are preparing for communion.